Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2, to the chief musician upon Neginah, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. That means when I get to the end of my rope, I'm going to cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I want to talk about the higher place tonight that the Lord wants us to be. Praise God. We're in a high place here tonight. Amen. Well, some of you might not feel that way, but there are some of you that feel that way tonight. We're in a high place. Praise God. We've felt the powers of the world to come. And it doesn't get any better than that. Praise God. Praise God. So I want to talk about it for just a little bit here tonight. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these folks that are here tonight and your presence that's in our midst. I pray your hand upon us. Bless and anoint the Word of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. It's just great to be a part of something that's going somewhere in eternity. Amen. You know, David was a man that was well acquainted with troubles in his life. David was a man who learned early on that there was a place that he could go to in the midst of complex problems. And when we look at the Old Testament, we look at the life of David, there were many complex problems that he faced in his life, many things that came his way that he didn't ask for, that he now suddenly, out of seemingly nowhere, he had to deal with, he had to make the right decisions. I would say tonight that the same scenario is relevant for us today. It hasn't changed from then until now. And I believe that in every generation, we have lived in a complex world and major problems to deal with in life. And America's got some problems they're going to have to deal with. Well, praise the Lord. Some things that are coming down the road here in America, not just in America, but in our world. We've got difficulties that are coming before us. Decisions are going to have to be made, and direction is going to have to be put in motion, and we've got to know what to do. Amen. We've got to have something that we can use as a guidepost, as a shining light before us, as a star to follow until we find the Messiah that can help us. Praise God. And the way to becoming better in life is a way that is high. When you talk about better, you're not talking about staying here. You're talking about moving up a little bit. You're not talking about always descending and going lower and lower, even though there are times that it seems that we are descending some and we have difficulties that come our way. It seems as though we are on a descending pathway. But I'm here to tell you tonight that that it's not the will of God that we stay on a descending pathway, but that we turn and we follow the will of God that will always eventually lead us to a higher place. Praise God. And in fact, this place is the Lord Himself. In order for anybody to go higher, we've got to have something higher to go to. And I know that's very elementary tonight, but it's true. If we're going to go higher, we've got to have something higher to higher than us that we can strive for. Amen. The American statesman Thomas Paine once said, "I love the man who can smile in trouble, who can gather strength from distress and grow brave by reflection. Amen. That's quite a statement right there, but a statesman that was a part of our great country. I love the man who can smile in trouble, who can gather strength from distress and grow brave by reflection. Amen. And, you know, most people are especially touched and moved by someone who seems to have their life together even in times of trouble. And you have to ask the question, how is it that some people are that way? Well, I think that they have established before them something, a principle that will keep them on a certain level. It doesn't mean that they will go through life without problems, but as the problems come, they face them with this higher principle that is before them. But there's no principle in life that is higher than the Word of God. Amen. And we have got something tonight that the president doesn't have. We've got something that all the Congress and the Senate doesn't have. We've got something, amen, and it's called a rock that is higher than I. We've got a high place tonight. We've got something that we can look to that is higher than us, amen, and we can grow brave in the midst of difficulties and troubles. Amen. And there's something about David here that's really inspiring. And it's inspiring to me because it's just simply his songs. Just to read his songs. And they're called Psalms. And I guess we could just call them Psalms. But if you look at the Psalms that David wrote, many of them were written in the time of trouble. Many of them were written in a time in which many would not be inspired to write down words that would inspire others. But David was a man who had a rock that was higher than himself. And it seemed like he seemingly never looked back, but he kept his eyes forward on the mark that's before him. Praise God. And we have a mark that is before us tonight. It's called heaven. And before we get to heaven, our mark is to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Amen. To know God more and more is to look to a higher place than where we are. Amen. Somebody once said, it was inventor Charles Kettering, whoever that is, he said, you can't have a better tomorrow if you're thinking about yesterday. And yes, we think about yesterday, but we don't dwell on it every moment of every day. Amen. I want to have a better tomorrow. Amen. Amen. My past is here. I want to go just a little bit higher than yesterday. Amen. And before you know it, you're going to find yourself a lot higher than yesterday. Amen. And this is a truth that is found in the Word of God. And I believe tonight that the way of victory is upward and onward. Amen. Because there is a rock that is higher than I, a rock that I can reach to, a rock that I can look up to that will give me strength in the time of trouble. Somebody said amen. Amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 6. I want to show you an example of David's life. 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 6. Then Achish gave him, this would be David, he gave David Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. Go in, and so here we have a gift that was given to David. Everything seemed to be going all right at this point. And David was at this point running from Saul, and he ends up going to the land of the Philistines. He had to run and hide And so he thought, well, I'll just go to the land of the Philistines. And he lived there for a year and 4 months. And the thing that David had seemingly built up was seemingly torn down and gone. He could not go back to his homeland, could not go back to his city, could not go back to the temple. He was a man that was on the run. Everything that seemingly he had built up was torn down and was gone. And it was absolutely distressing. And there's not a one of us here tonight that are exempt from stress and exempt from distress. The word distress here means to be narrow or to be in distress, to be straitened or to be vexed. Amen. And so it seemed like David had gotten to the place here where everything was going good a little bit. But if you go to chapter 30 in verse 1 through 6, we see a little different situation develop. And this is really what the devil wants us to believe, is that the enemy is stronger than us. But as the young people sang tonight, the enemy is not stronger than us. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag was smitten, Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Now, some of you may have never gotten to this place in your life, but I pray that you don't. But if you do, that you're in the company of David here. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and all the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. You know, somebody told me the other day, we were discussing some things on the phone, and they said, I just have been weeping, and it's just a grief that has come over me. And I won't tell you who it is, nobody that's here tonight. And I responded by telling this individual, it's all right to cry, God made us to cry. It's all right to be distressed. God made us that way. We are not angels here tonight. Amen. We don't have superpowers, but we are built with this body that has passions. We are built with this body that has weaknesses. Amen. Somebody said amen. Amen. I know you're perfect, but none of the rest of us are perfect here tonight. And David wept. And there will be a time in your life when you will weep. Amen. Some people say that it is a sign of weakness. It is really not a sign of weakness to weep. Amen. But real men know how to cry. Amen. Let me say that again. Real men know how to cry. Amen. We're not an island. We're not a rock here today. Amen. There is a rock that is higher than us, and it's not us. And here the city was burned with fire, and they wept. Here's the warrior, a leader of leaders, a warrior of warriors. And he sat down somewhere with all the men that were under him. And the Bible says they cried until there wasn't any more tears coming out. And if you've never been there, you don't know what it's talking about here. I've been there more than once in my life, and it's not a very pleasant place to be where your grief overwhelms you and all you can do is weep. You don't have anything to say. You can't do anything. You just have to sit there and weep until it's all out of your system. And David's wives were taken. And David was greatly distressed, and already gave you the definition of that word. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved. Amen. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. Amen. And so not only was everything that David had taken from him, but now the men that he called comrades, the ones that he thought was with him and would go to battle with him and fight for him and protect him, now all of a sudden there's murmurings that start rising up in their little camp. I think there was about 400 of them. And they started talking about stoning David. We're going to kill him. We're going to stone him. It's because of his leadership. And I'll tell you what, that's not a very good place to be, where the people speak against you behind your back. And they do it because they are grieved. Amen. But grief is not always something that is godly. Sometimes grief is something that is very selfish. And these men were very selfish because they had lost the things that they thought was dear to them. And instead of lifting up their head to the rock that was higher than them, they looked around for somebody else to blame around them. And the blame fell upon David. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He encouraged himself in the Lord. And that word encouraged there, listen to this, it means to fasten upon or to seize. Amen. And so it also means to strengthen, to cure, to help, to repair, to fortify. And so when David got to the bottom of the rope, as it is, as they say, when you get to the end of your rope, just tie a knot and hang on. Amen. There's times when life is like that. But David encouraged himself. In other words, I'd like to say it this way. David seized upon God's thoughts on this subject. Amen. It wasn't what David was thinking about it, or what David thought needed to be done. David stopped his forward progress, or in this case, his backward progress, and he said, I'm not going to think about this, Lord. I want you to think about this. Lord, I don't know what to do, but you know what to do. And he seized upon God's thoughts, and he repaired his wounded spirit. Amen. By getting a cure or a remedy from the Lord. And that's what that word there, encourage, means. Folks, every now and then we need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged in the Lord, but we need to encourage one another as well. Well, praise God. It's very easy to feel like you're the only one. Amen. And young people, I'd just like to say this tonight, that there are many times I've had many young people over the years come to me and say, I just don't feel like I fit in. Well, I want you to know that all of us have those feelings at times in our life. But I'm telling you tonight, you do fit in, and you are a major part of what's going on. And I want you to know that there are times you just have to encourage yourself. Amen. And say, thank God I've got a church. Thank God I've got other young people around me. Thank God I've got parents that love me and live for God. Well, praise the Lord. We've got to take stock of the good things that we have instead of building up a case for what we don't have. Well, praise the Lord. Because I want you to know, when you encourage yourself, and we encourage one another. Amen. It's one thing to encourage yourself, but I'll tell you what, it's like putting supercharged fuel in your diesel truck. Amen. When somebody comes along in insincerity, they tell you how much they love you, how much they appreciate you. Amen. How much you mean to them. Amen. I'm not talking about a mutual admiration society here tonight. But I'm talking about edification, about edifying the body of Christ. Amen. I'm not in this all by myself, and I'm not going to heaven by myself. Praise God. I'm going with the church, And I'm thankful for that tonight. Do you love your brothers and your sisters? Praise God. I'm thankful for these young people tonight. I'm very proud of each and every one of them. Amen. And I say that in sincerity. I say that wherever I go. And I mean it with all of my heart. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And that's a very well-used scripture. Sometimes it almost becomes a cliche. Amen. All things are going to work together for good. But that doesn't really help out a whole lot when you're looking at your city that's smoldering. Amen. And you're looking at all of the possessions that you've worked for, and they have been taken away by the enemy. And all of a sudden, the people around you are talking about stoning you. I'm telling you tonight, we can't just lean on a pat on the back from somebody else. We've got to get a pat on the back from the Lord Himself. Praise God. There are times we need Him to wrap His arms around us and tell us in His own way how much He loves us. And you can get up from your prayer time encouraged in the Lord and strengthened in your God. Amen. How can we do it when we're weak? We can do it by the rock that is higher than us. How can we do it when we fall short? We can do it by looking upward to the rock that is higher than us. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Here's what the church faced. Here was the complex world that they lived in. And it was everywhere. It wasn't just localized. It was everywhere. And they had more trouble than we have. I can tell you that right now. They were fed to lions in the Roman Colosseum. They were sawn asunder. They were destroyed. They were chased down. They were thrown in prison. They were abused. Only they would be able to tell us the difficulties that they had. Our biggest difficulty is the president that just got voted into office. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm not stressed out about that. I'm telling you what, I'm not distressed about that, because I know that there's somebody more powerful than him. And I know another thing here tonight, that in the midst of trouble, that's when God moves the most. Praise God. And I want God to move. Anybody else want God to move? I want God to move. And yes, He moves in the good times, but He moves in the bad times as well. Paul's writing here and he says, "We are troubled on every side." I don't know if that really applies to us here in America, but it applied to them. He said, "Yet not distressed." Amen. Now, how can you be troubled on every side and not be distressed? How can you have financial troubles and not be stressed out about it? How can you have difficulties in your life and not be stressed out about it? Well, he goes on and he says, "We are perplexed," or we're confused, "but not in despair." Despair is when you give up hope. Despair is when you say, there's nothing else I can do. I'm gone. I'm a goner. And there's nothing I can do about it. Amen. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now, how can you be confused and not in despair? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Amen. Well, when we're persecuted, that's when people forsake us. When we are persecuted, that's when people turn their back on us. They talk about us behind our back, or whatever the situation might be. Amen. But we are not forsaken. Now, how can we have persecution and all of this surrounding us, but not forsaken, and know that we're not forsaken? We are cast down, but not destroyed. And I think when Paul talked about being cast down, maybe he was talking about the time that he was stoned and left for dead. Amen. Cast down. Amen. And when they stoned somebody, they didn't throw little bitty rocks at them. They threw big rocks, rocks that would crush your skull in, rocks that would break your ribs. I saw a picture in Afghanistan of a Al-Qaeda fighter that was stoned to death by some enemies, not by Americans, but by another group that they were fighting. And this individual, it looked as though some big piece of equipment had just pressed his body down into the ground, and his face was showing, but the rest of his body was covered with rocks. Amen. It was a terrible sight. Amen. But that's what they had to do. And out of the rubble and out of the rocks, he came back up and went on to serve God. Amen. That's what happened to Paul. Cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Amen. If you're sick tonight, don't worry about it. You are participating in the suffering of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said, I will rejoice in my infirmity. Amen. I will rejoice in it because when I am weak, then he is strong. And I've learned that lesson over the years, I think, that when I am weak, that's when God moves the most.
Amen.
You may be facing tonight a chronic disease, but I'm telling you what tonight, God doesn't have any chronic diseases.
Amen.
He will help you through that situation. Amen. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Praise God. The life, everybody said the life.
The life.
The life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So in other words, when things are not going right and situations, you're facing situations in your life, when we look to the life of Jesus Christ, he is the rock, we look upward because the rock is higher than us.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Praise God. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Matthew 16 and 18, very familiar. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. We ought to just clap our hands and thank God for that scripture tonight. Praise God. Do you need a solid place? Do you feel like you're standing on shifty sand tonight? I'm here to tell somebody, you're not standing on shifting sand, but you are standing upon the rock, and the rock is higher than your problems.
Amen.
Last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Here's what happened to Israel in the wilderness. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Can we stand together tonight? The rock followed them. Amen. If you're having difficulties here tonight and you're trudging your way through the hot sands of the deserts of this world, I want you just to stop for a minute and look around, because if you'll look close enough, there's going to be a rock and it's going to be higher than you. And wherever you are, if you'll just stop long enough and take the time to listen and take the time to look, you're going to find that rock. You're going to see that rock. If you want to Google it out so you'll know what I'm talking about, when I pastored in Farmington, New Mexico many years ago, a Indian reservation right on the edge of the mountains and right on the edge of the desert, and mesas, flat land, sand, hot, all of that. Off in the distance is a thing called Ship Rock. And it's a gigantic piece of rock. It's all flat, and all of a sudden there's this gigantic piece of rock that extends up into the sky, probably 600 or 700 feet, maybe higher than that. And it's called Ship Rock. Praise the Lord. We sing about the old salvation ship, but that rock is not going to be moved. Amen. If you want to get to a different perspective of life, you can get up to a high place and you'll get a different perspective of life. Go up in a jet airplane 30,000 feet. You'll get a little different perspective about where you are and what's going on in your life. If you think you're big, just get up there real high and you'll see how small you really are. But when you're up there, you'll see how much more you can see than you can see when you're down on the ground. When you're down on the ground, all you can see is these four walls and the people that are here. And maybe a little bit further than that. I think it's 30 miles to the horizon. So we might be able to see 30 miles. But if you go to Colorado Springs and go up the top of Pikes Peak, on a very clear day, you look to the south and you'll be able to see the twin peaks. And I forget the name of the town where I think it's Walsenburg. I believe it's Walsenburg, down around where Brother Riley started a church in Trinidad, Colorado. And you can look, and it's 100 miles from the springs down to the Twin Peaks. And I've been on the top of Pikes Peak, and I looked over, and there are the Twin Peaks. Actually, I've seen it from the ground, which is 6,000 feet above sea level. And you can look on a clear day and see those. But that's about the extent of your ability to see. Amen. Folks, we've got a world that's a lot bigger than 100 miles. Oh, praise God. We've got a world that's a lot bigger. We've got a God that's a lot bigger than our world. We've got a God that's bigger than our universe. He holds the universe between the tip of his little finger and the tip of his thumb. That's the God that we serve tonight. And what we've got to do on a regular basis, I hope you're listening. Young person, this will help you so much. Every now and then you've got to get to a higher place. Praise God. You've got to get to a higher place. And that higher place is the rock. Amen. The rock, Jesus Christ. Amen.